Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers podcast as we talk through a tall forward with a slender physique.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers. And who are we talking about, Josh? I mean, it's quite a descriptive analogy. It's definitely not an analogy. It's a descriptive description. But that's terrible English. So, who are we talking about?
Who could it be?
Who could it be?
What were your options?
Oh, you only said... What did you say?
Tall forward with a slender physique.
Or Danny Welbeck?
Not quite tall enough, I'd say.
Okay.
Zigic?
Yeah.
Slender enough?
I think he probably is slender enough. Because he's not like... He didn't have shoulders, did he? When you say slender, I automatically he didn't have shoulders.
Very unfortunate. Arms, like a kid's drawing, arms coming out of his ribs.
But when you say slender physique, I immediately think, like, not broad shoulders. They don't, like, Erling Haaland is tall and has a big physique because he's got broad shoulders. So that's what I immediately think of in terms of that. So, yeah. I mean, it was Peter Crouch. It's Peter Crouch. That's who we're talking
about.
It's
Peter Crouch, but just, I'm wondering how many others fit his bill.
Zlatan?
Who also have, despite his size, great touch for a big man.
Great touch for a big man.
Zlatan. Zlatan's broad, though, isn't
That's
he?
What I think. Yeah, I think Zlatan's broad. I don't. You don't really see many, like, stick insects in football. That's how I'd describe Peter Crouch.
I also think, though, that footballers are deceptively slight.
Really?
None of them are really, like, huge. Because they've got to... They're basically runners, really, aren't they? But it's not about power in terms of upper body. So I think a lot of them, it's surprising when you need to compare them to someone from a different sport, they look a lot thinner. Because you see, like for example, Rio Ferdinand, Out and Jermaine Genus were much slimmer when they were footballers, but have now gone on to actually bulk up a bit and probably a general size. Whereas I think you'd be surprised how thin footballers are overall.
Yeah, I guess the exception to the rule is Adama Traore.
Who just gets oiled up.
If you put Peter Crouch and Adama Traore next to each other, I really would want to see that. There must be a photo of them playing against each other or in a handshake or something in a lineup.
Well, I mean, you have his partnership with Jermaine Defoe, which was equally contrasting.
Very true. Yeah, very true. But I just want to see like a really big, muscly, short guy standing next to him just to see what he looks like. But yeah, highlights. Obviously, Peter Crouch has played for Spurs. So have you got fond memories of him? Good highlights in your head?
His goal against Man City that took us into the Champions League for the first time. So, crossed in by Younes Kaboul, Martin Fulop, rest in peace. Palmed it out, Peter Crouch nodded it home. Very similar to the goal scored recently by Tottenham against Man City. Harry Kane blasting at the keeper, keeper parries at Emerson, heads it home. I think I'm probably more fond of Peter Crouch than I am Emerson, though.
Yeah, from what I text you about and things like that, I can understand you don't have too much of a fondness for Emerson at the moment.
His goal away at AC Milan, Spurs were playing in the round of 16, just qualified from the groups, and Aaron Lennon breaks through, rounds Mario Yepes, lays it across, Peter Crouch tucks it in.
Nice.
Negative memories, he did get sent off against Real Madrid. In the next round. That wasn't great. Like a lunging challenge.
I say I can't remember that. I don't remember really getting a red card.
His long legs, he's just kind of pressing and he goes to slide in. I think it might have been on Sergio Ramos. Can't quite remember who it was on, but he lunges in and sent off.
Was there theatrics?
Might be two quick yellows. Yeah. It's definitely that's something that's coming into the game a lot more now, I've noticed.
Oh, 100%.
Is that players will stay down so much more because they know the referee is somewhat... kidded by them being properly injured. They'll just stay down for ages, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm sure we'll touch on his Tottenham stint a little bit later.
Fond memories from you?
I think he scored an absolute belter of a volley for Stoke. He scored
against
a long ranger,
Man City,
didn't
I think.
He? Yeah, against Man City. Yeah, a long ranger for Stoke. I just like the fact his acrobaticness for a man of his height. The volleys, the overheads, the scissor kicks, all those sorts
of things.
It feels
like they work better with him as well because his legs kind of just, there's a long, more leg to flow.
Yeah.
It's almost more visually appealing him doing that. Like, it's a scissor kick for, I think, Liverpool on the edge of a box. It's just like, It seems unnecessary at the time, but it worked so well.
Yeah, I was just thinking from a science engineering point of view, does he generate more power with his scissor kicks because there's a massive pivot to go round because of the size of his legs?
The mechanics of it. But, yeah,
interesting. I mean, obviously, I would say Peter Crouch is more famous probably for his podcast in modern times rather than what he did on the football pitch. And I think he's embraced that fact that he wasn't a world-class player, but he was known to be a good character around and stuff like that. And do you remember him bursting on the scene, like coming into the forefront? Or was it the robot that did it?
So I remember him kind of knocking about. Like, so Spurs, obviously Spurs fan, he didn't play for us. I mean, he had a few loans. Intriguing, he had his loan to IFK Hasselholm, which... And but along with, I don't know, do you remember this player, Alton Thelwell? Do you have any recollection?
The only way I remember him is because Crouchy talks about him on the podcast. That's the way
so
I know.
He kind of burst on the scene at Spurs in a similar time to, might even had a debut in the same match. I've got a feeling there's a debut against, I hope, to Liverpool, Alton Thelwell and Ledley King. I might be misremembering, but around that time, Alton Thelwell, either. So we have IFK Hasselholm. And so it mentions several well-known players have played at the club, including Indian international striker Peter Crouch. And we have a few Swedish internationals here. So Jon Jonsson, a centre-back, came to Spurs as part of the whole deal.
Right, okay.
Nothing
there.
Andreas Dahl, do you remember him?
Oh, the name rings a bell.
This guy you can remember, Tobias Lindroth.
Oh, yeah.
You fancy putting your... knowledge out there and can tell me any clubs he played for?
What, Tobias Lindroth?
Yeah. He played in the Premier League.
Everton?
Yes.
And then I want to say IFK Gothenburg.
No, so so Lindroth played for Starbeck and then an unremarkable spell at Everton marred by injury. He scored once against Charlton in the League Cup. That is pretty unremarkable.
Yeah.
Isn't it? If you're scoring once against Charlton in the League Cup.
Yeah.
We've got Copenhagen and Galatasaray. Galatasaray do like. I feel like they do like. He seemed like he would be kind of captain material, but I don't know. Did Laurent Kahna play over in Galatasaray as well? Seems like they're.
Oh. He must have done. I mean, I'll have a look. I'll have a quick look. Laurent Kahna. Yeah.
He came from Marseille to Sunderland, is how I remember.
He did.
And appeared 23 times in the league. If I want to really put my knowledge
for test
there.
He played 31 times for Sunderland, but I don't look at the league, and then moved from Sunderland to Galatasaray. There you go.
And was Albanian.
Albanian. Yeah. He did play 31 times in the league for Sunderland, so slightly off. Slightly off.
But Tobias Lindroth was currently manager of Skövde. A Swedish football club.
Right.
Skövde. Is Laurent Kahna managing? He's like he felt like someone who's captain, defensive mid, can see it all. Feels like they should go into kind of managerial role. No,
he's not. He retired in 2016 from football and international football at the same time. His last club were Nantes, 21 appearances, 0 goals. But there's no episode of coaching. But post football, on the 26th of October 2017, he was named by the Albanian Football Association as the grassroots ambassador for football in Albania. So they've kept in probably, generating interest in the layout, in the youngsters, giving them, here's what you could be, sort of thing. Look at Laurent Kahna.
Are there Albanian players? If you want to go to the national team, what's other Albanian players?
Oh, I'm there. Let me have a look at their...
You got anything?
Current squad, hang on. Current squad. Here we go. Right. Oh, Kumbula plays for Roma, centre-back for Roma. He's a young centre-back for Roma. Again, I actually well known through Football Manager, but he is in and out of the team a little bit. Heiser, the right back for Lazio. H-Y-S-A-J.
I was going to say, if he's got a J in it, I know it, yeah.
Oh, Berisha, the goalkeeper. He's 33. He's been around Serie A for ages. Yeah, I recognise that name. Striker-wise, there's nobody... Oh, wow. In their current squad, their last squad they called up, their three strikers they called up had a combined 8 appearances. So...
Just try out youth. Try new things.
Records. Let's have a look at records then. Most appearances, Laurent Kahna, 93 caps, 1 goal. Top goal scorers, stop me when you recognise a name. Erjan Bogdani, Alban Bushi, Irvin Skeller, Armando Sadiku, Sokol Chikalashe, Hamid Salahi, Altin Rakili, Sokol Kushta, Eagle Tare and Bekim Balaje.
Eagle Tare.
I'm
almost sure of it.
Got 10 goals in 68 appearances. Eagle Tie.
He was a Ford main player as a winger. It was definitely a Lazio stint.
Yeah, ended his career at Lazio. Yeah.
Oh, he might pick the slender forward. 6'3", doesn't look like the biggest man.
True. Currently sporting director at Lazio as well. So they kept him on.
Oh, Brescia, he played alongside Roberto Baggio.
Nice. As you can tell, I know we've done it in the last two episodes as well, but we go on quite a few tangents and offshoots in these new sort of discussions. But that's the point of it. That's the point of it.
Yeah, just quickly back to Hasselhoff, man. It mentions here the team's success boosted crowds of up to 8,500. In the year 2000, there was a dramatic change in the club after Peter Crouch and Alton Stairwell were loaned from Tottenham. Their loan brought new attention to the club, resulting in John Johnson being signed by Spurs. I mean, it doesn't really go too much into the drama around it.
Yeah.
In recent years, the club has been a base for many South African players coming to Sweden to acclimatise before they move on to other Swedish clubs. The most notable example is Tokelo Ranti in Malmo, but players such as May Malangu and Ayanda Nikili also played here.
Okay. Don't know any of them.
No. Okay. Well, back to Peter Crouch and him bursting on the scene. So, Spurs, I think I maybe would have known a little bit about youth football there, but QPR, so that was in the Division 1 at the time, I think it was. So again, I don't really recall it, but had a good season. But they got relegated, and there he signs for Portsmouth. So he stays in the First Division. Again, I'm not sure I have any recollection of this. So 2001, 2002, Portsmouth, they're not really putting... So he was named Player of the Season that year. That is a clickable link, which is... Let's have a look at that. 0102 in his honours there. We see who he's playing with. Okay, we've got the squad here. Okay, we've got Eddie Howe was in the defender at the time.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Robert Prosinecki, Nigel Quasi.
Oh.
Rogue Italian Alessandro Zamperini.
Nope.
No. Svetislav Todorov.
Yeah. Used to love him on Champ Manager.
I'm pulling out the rogue non-British people. We've got the Japanese goalkeeper, Yoshikatsu Kawaguchi.
I really recognise that name.
I feel like I'm clicking that. Lewis Buxton, I remember him from...
Yeah, centre-back.
Rowan Vine.
Yeah, remember him.
Dave Besant was there.
Oh, my word.
Linvoi Primus, obviously.
Yeah.
And a Greek, Michael Panopoulos, and a Brazilian, Stefani... Migliorenzi. So both those get a clip to see what's going on there.
I was just looking at this from the QPR and Portsmouth move. QPR bought him from Spurs, Peter Crouch from Spurs for £60,000. Sold him for £1.5 million to Portsmouth. And what's even weirder about this sentence is that they sold him because of their relegation meant they had diminished finances. And most of the time I think about Portsmouth having diminished finances. So
Yeah,
very odd. Yeah.
So, Kawaguchi, sometimes referred to as Yoshi Kawaguchi, he played 116 times for the Japan national team.
Nice.
But only 12 times for Portsmouth.
Good ratio.
Moved on to Nordsjælland.
FC Nordsjælland, Norway.
Then it looks like it was Japan, Jubilo Iwata, FC Gifu, and SC Sagamihara. I feel like I recognise the name Kawaguchi.
Yeah, I really feel like I recognise that. It might be the Japanese national team is where we recognise him. Yeah. Just,
I mean, 116 times and 591 career appearances. He won the league with Pompey. First
nice.
Division. Yeah. Let's have a look at Stefani Migliorenzi. Brazilian but attended school in New York City. He went to Pompey, Swindon, LA Galaxy, Columbus Crew, LA Galaxy again, Philadelphia Union. His youth, his college career, St. John's Red Storm. So, it's St. John's University. He was in the NCAA Championship. Okay. It's a lot about his Swindon time. He did make 124 appearances there.
Nice. Anyway, let's bring it back to Peter Crouch.
I think
we bring it back to Peter Crouch. So not only did he get a QPR profit after they bought him from Spurs, sold him to Portsmouth. Portsmouth then get a profit on him, buying him for £1.5 million. They sell him to Aston Villa for £5 million after he impresses at Portsmouth. Now, I don't really have any recollection of him playing for Villa.
That's where it kind of gets a little bit, okay, maybe something, but because that's his first foray into Premier League, that is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 3 seasons in the Premier League with Aston Villa. 7 appearances, 2 goals. 14 appearances, no goals. 16 appearances, 4 goals in the league. So it's not, yeah, it's pretty rubbish, to be honest.
Yeah, which is why he goes on loan to Norwich, back down to the First Division to, you know, get some kind of experience at the level where he's obviously comfortable at.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him talking about this on the podcast. It was something to do with David O'Leary came in at Aston Villa, I think.
Oh, he did, yeah.
And he basically came in and was like, yeah, you're not going to play for me, so we're going to send you out on loan. It was like, oh, okay. But then he came back to Villa and scored for them after the loan fee, and then was sold for half the fee they paid for him. Southampton paid £2.5 million for him, so Aston Villa made £2.5 million loss. Do you think Aston Villa regret that? Going to see what he went on for. I mean, he moved from Southampton to Liverpool, so.
I mean, it was almost straight after that. So Southampton, he joins them. James Beattie and Kevin Phillips, both of them have had one standout season, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Kevin Phillips was Golden Boot winner in the Premier League the year Sunderland got promoted.
Yeah, and his first year in the Premier League. Niall Quinn up front. Oh, now that's a side. Do we remember that side? Michael Gray.
Yeah, Michael Gray. They had a Scandinavian goalkeeper. Was it Jürgen Macho?
Was it Thomas Sorensen?
Thomas Sorensen. Yeah, Thomas Sorensen was in goal.
He never scored for England, did Kevin Phillips? 8 appearances.
Wow.
No goals. Yeah, so there was a 30 goal season. So, I mean, fair, he's coming off Sunderland form is great. So joined Sunderland from Watford. Watford, he's scoring almost one in two. So 59 appearances, 24 goals. 29 appearances, 43 goals in the First Division, 23 and 26 in the second season, 30 and 36, 14 and 34, 11 and 37, 6 and 32. But he just went on. He had obviously stint at Southampton, where he gets into double figures. He goes to Aston Villa. But we had the West Brom stint, where he did well. Birmingham, Blackpool, yeah. Crystal Palace. And Leicester. Let me see. I just want to try and get that Sunderland side.
What year was it? Let me see if I can go to an
98, 99 was the year they got promoted. 99, 2000. Okay, yeah, I got it. So 1999, 2000 Sunderland season. So we have Thomas Sorensen. Now, before I go any further, do you want to try and name any more?
Oh my God.
We've got Sorensen, Quinn, Phillips, Gray.
They had a right or left back, I think.
Okay.
Nicky Summerby. Yeah. Who I think played for Man City as well, potentially.
Yep, that's right.
Was it too early for Kevin Kilbane?
No, Kevin Kilbane was there. Yeah.
I think that's my knowledge. I think that's my limit.
So what I didn't realise, captain Steve Bold.
Yeah, no idea about that.
We have Danny Dicchio.
I've just gone to it. There's loads of names I recognise.
John Oster, Gavin McCann, Stephen Schwartz.
Jody Craddock.
Jody Craddock, yeah, and Alex Ray.
Alex Ray. And then a random Honduran, Milton Nunes. I'm clicking on him. See what he's done with his career.
I'm also clicking on their reserve squad, the midfielder, John Joe Dickman.
Nice.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my word, Josh. Oh, yes. My word. Milton Nunes has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 seasons at different clubs.
He's 50 years old but retired from playing 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. And that Sunderland season is so odd. It goes Deportes Pureglesano, Real Espanol, Comunicanos, Nacional, PAOK, where he played 10 times and didn't score. Sunderland, 1 appearance, didn't score. Back to Nacional, Comunicanos, Pachuca, Necaxa, Marathon, Comuniques, Real Espan, Olympia, Marathon, Jalapa, Universidad, Comuniques, Universidad. This is what?
One theory surrounding his signing is that Peter Reid, who was a manager when Nunes was brought into the Stadium of Light, thought that he'd signed Nunes' strike partner at PAOK, Adolfo Valencia, and not Nunes himself. Nunes himself claimed in an interview that Sunderland has thought that Valencia and Nunes' international teammate Eduardo Bennett, both whom were similar height and build, were the same player, and he watched them both play for PAOK and endure respect to assume they had been the same player twice. In the confusion, they end up signing Nunez by mistake, with a diminutive forward being the only Honduran player at PAOK. Sutherland later went to court over the transfer, as Nunez was owned by Uruguayan third tier team Montevideo. At the time, he's moved to Wearside, although he never played for them. He stayed in England for 2 years before returning to Nacional after playing just once for Sunderland against Wimbledon in the league and Luton in the League Cup. Wow.
Here you go. Personal life. Nunez received the nickname Tyson due to his resemblance to former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson.
Well, he's getting a Google.
Yeah.
I know Mike Tyson. I mean, oh, do you know what?
Are they not lying?
It's not far off.
Let's have a look at this. Milton Nunez. Not bad.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That could be one of the best transfer things we've ever read.
Yeah.
That could be.
Just quickly, Jonjo Dickman, one appearance for Sunderland, two appearances for London York, and 40 experiences for Darlington, retired age 25. Yeah. There's actually Dickman brothers, Elliot and Lewis. They're coaches at Sunderland, so the Dickman reign continues.
Nice. One last thing before I left Milton Nunez's page. In June 2019, Nunez signed a contract with Victoria. So as you said, he carried on playing until 2 years ago. Well, he would play alongside his son, also named Milton.
So is he just begging for another confused transfer?
Yeah, it must be.
I thought it's on the other Milton Nunez. Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. Milton Nunez, ladies and gentlemen. What a hero.
Right, back to Peter Crouch.
Back to Peter Crouch.
Who joined Southampton, James Beattie, I just need to quickly go on. So he had obviously a stint, 23 goals. Yeah, that 23 goals. Can you remember any James Beattie goals?
I can remember him.
I've got one in my head.
Like an edge of the box rocket for Everton, I think.
I've got a long range free kick against Chelsea in my head.
Who for?
Southampton.
For Southampton, yeah, I can't remember that one. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering a goal he scored for Everton from the edge of the box. Absolute rocket. But I always used to like James Beattie. I thought he was a decent
option.
He
always chewed gum.
He did always chew gum, yeah.
Also appeared for England 5 times, no goals.
Yeah, oh. So James Beattie and Kevin Phillips, all those goals. No goals for England.
What was it all for?
What was the point?
Yeah. So Southampton stint goes pretty well. He loves a season somewhere, doesn't he?
He does.
He's had like a season at QPR, a season at Portsmouth, little spell at Villa, but a season at Southampton, and he's like, right, I'm joining Liverpool. And it didn't go great to begin with, did it?
No, it did not. I remember the goal drought of Crouchy, and they gave him a penalty that he missed as well during the goal drought. Bless him.
But he came good. He was actually top scorer in all competitions in the 2007-08 season, I think it was. And he appeared in the 2007 Champions League final. That was the AC Milan Liverpool matchup again.
It was a revenge, wasn't it? Yeah, 2 years later.
Yeah, let me just have a little click on that, because that's going to be a bleak Liverpool side, isn't it? So 2-1 Milan v Liverpool, hosted at in Athens at Olympic Stadium. Remember anything about this final?
I remember Milan looking well up for it. I watched it in Birmingham with my friend who was a Liverpool fan, and he never gave up hope when Milan were in the lead. He was always like, we've done it before. Yeah. Like, no chance. Absolutely no chance you're coming back this time. But no, I don't remember too much of the game. I'm trying to think of the Liverpool starting lineup, who they would have had. So Mascherano, I know, is in it, because it says in Peter Crouch's page that he came on to replace Mascherano. Who was their goalkeeper? Was it still Dudek?
Wasn't Dudek. It was Spanish fifth choice.
Reina?
Pepe Reina.
Yeah. Carragher would have still been there.
Carragher's in there. There's two Scandinavians in the back line.
Hippier?
No, wrong Scandinavian. They love a Scandinavian, don't they?
Oncho?
He's Swiss. Nope.
Oh, he's Swiss. Well, Jonanarisa is one of them.
Jonanarisa, and another left-footed centre-back.
Oh, Agger.
Daniel Agger.
Right-back.
Very reliable Irish right-back.
Steve Finnan,
yeah. So partnering Mascherano in midfield is obviously
Steven Gerrard.
And partnering him, because it's probably a three-man, really, but
Ben Ayoun.
Now Bayer Leverkusen manager, I want to say.
Xavi Alonso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, front three, this is difficult. This isn't peak Liverpool. So we have a Dutchman, two Dutchmen and a Brit.
Ryan Babel?
No.
God. Oh, Dirk Kuyt.
Dirk Kuyt up front, who gets a last-minute consolation goal.
And then two Brits.
Is a left-footed Dutchman, and right side is an Englishman.
Left-footed Dutchman. Zenden.
Also, Zenden, yeah, former Barcelona and Chelsea man. And right side Englishman. I think he left his car in Spain once.
How do you know that? A right-sided English. No, I'm drawing a blank for that. Who's that?
Jermaine Pennant.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
God.
Dudek on the bench, Arbeloa, Sammy Hupia, Harry Kewell, Mark Gonzalez, Peter Crouch and Craig Bellamy.
God, that was a great time.
Mark Gonzalez I think he must have been good on computer games. So I remember being quite excited about him signing for Liverpool, but really didn't amount to much.
Was Mark Gonzalez the one that was signed in a double deal from Celta Vigo?
Under Benitez? No, he signed from Albacete.
Ah, no, I'm thinking of something.
It was Alberto Riera.
That's it. It was Alberto Riera, and someone was signed in a double deal.
Albert Riera. He actually had a stint at Man City. He was signed from Espanyol.
Anyway. Don't worry about that. That'll be another discussion to be had. The signings and facts of Rafa Benitez.
So Peter Crouch is at Liverpool, and he's doing okay, isn't he? He wins FA Cup, I think.
FA Cup.
That's going to be Steven Gerrard.
That's the Steven Gerrard Super Final, yeah.
Yeah. Wins the Community Shield. So runner-up in Champions League, and also runner-up in the Club World Championship in 2005. I have no recollection of this, so I'm going to click on this. 2005, Sao Paulo beat them.
Okay. Oh, Sao Paulo, they've always had some good players as well.
Top scorer was something. Peter Crouch, joint top scorer, they have two goals. But Amoroso was Sao Paulo's top scorer. Marcio Amoroso? Is that the one who was at Milan? It was Milan, yeah.
Okay.
Parma, Borussia Dortmund, yeah.
Oh, the passer Amoroso. No, Parma Amoroso. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Parma, Borussia. So, Udinese, Parma, Borussia Dortmund, Malaga, Sao Paulo, Milan, then lots of other Brazilian sides. Yeah. Do you have any respect for the Club World Cup Championship?
Not really. I think it's, especially now, not the new one that they're trying to introduce, right? It's getting bigger and it's going to be every 2 years, and the Champions League runners-up also get to go. And, it's all a bit strange.
That's Sydney FC competing in this, and Dwight York scored.
Wow.
Yeah. And incredibly, we have Sao Paulo's Rogério Ceni scoring, their goalkeeper.
Awesome. Free kick.
Joseph Desire Job got a goal for Al Ittihad, as well as Mohamed Kalon.
Yeah, the seal.
Oh.
Seal dribble.
One of my favourite players of all time. Yeah. No, that was Kalon.
Mohamed Kalon was the Inter Milan Sierra Leone striker, I think he was.
Yes, correct. Yeah. We have one of my favourite players of all time from Saprissa, Ronald Gomez, the Costa Rican forward.
Yeah.
Oh, this is brilliant. But back to Peter Crouch. That's his Liverpool stint. And then we have Pompey, I think. Is that where he goes, isn't it?
It's where he goes next, Pompey, who this then takes... For a season. And it takes Portsmouth spending on Peter Crouch alone to £12.5 million. So...
How many times has Harry Redknapp sanctioned that spending?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Three, isn't it? Well, he signed him for Portsmouth and then Portsmouth again, I think.
And Southampton, wasn't he?
Southampton. Was he at
Portsmouth? I don't think he'd been Portsmouth originally. I think he's...
No, Graham Ricks was Portsmouth manager.
Oh, no, but he said Crouch became the main attacking focus of a Southampton team upon the arrival of Harry Redknapp. So I don't think he's probably been sold more times than Redknapp than bought, actually.
But... It goes back to Portsmouth, though, the FA Cup winners, the FA Cup holders, sorry. It was announced to big fanfare, scored his first goal on his return to Portsmouth in a 3-0 win over Everton, and then did all right. Crouch scored twice in extra time in a UEFA Cup match away to Portuguese team Vitória de Guimarães to help Portsmouth reach the group stages of the competition. Scored against Heerenveen in a 3-0 victory at Fratton Park, but they failed to make it out of the group stages. Interesting. Okay. That sounds odd. They won two games in the group stage and didn't get through. That two games is normally like you only need a draw, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a bit odd. 46 times for Pompey in the 08-09 season, scoring 16 goals as they finished 14th. And then was sold for a loss to Spurs. Sold for 10 million. Maybe this was
Why
the Mandrich.
Pompey financially struggle.
yeah. Maybe this is the Mandrich start of things. But 5-year contract at Spurs, so they wanted to give him a lot of faith.
Yeah, looking there, he scored 12 times in the league in 73 appearances.
Really not
that
doesn't, good.
That's surprising. There's a lot of assists, and you know, he was an odd down man to Raphael van der Vaart, and he got more, obviously, there's a European competition thing, but yeah, cause he got a hat-trick. He got, that's another memory, actually, for Champions League memory again, actually. So, young boys of Bern, we're away in the first leg, lost 1-0, had the artificial pitch.
Yes, yeah.
And then we, the home leg, come back, and then he scores a hat-trick and puts us through to the group stage. Yeah, but overall, I mean, fond memories of him. He, decent player. Obviously, he scored in the 3-1 win at home to Inter Milan. Gareth Bale taxi from Icon.
Yeah,
he should have scored a couple, but scored one.
Interesting little line at the end of his return to Tottenham, Page. He scored an own goal against Man City, which consequently confirmed City into the Champions League for the 11-12 season, with Tottenham finishing fifth.
So does that mean, have any reaction to that?
Does that mean his own goal put... We might have only had three spots at that point. I can't remember because it was like 11 years ago. But if not, it means his own goal made Tottenham finish fifth.
He's net zero then, isn't he?
Yeah.
His goal got us there against Man City and his goal took it away.
Very true.
Before looking at his page, would you have said his longest stint was at Stoke City?
No, I would have thought... Spurs, I think. I would have thought.
Yeah, we've got eight seasons at Stoke overall.
Oh, okay. But there was no surprise, right, when Tony Pulis signed him. Absolutely no surprise at all. You were like, yep, that's a good match. That we can see that happening. Hey. But 12 million.
And his first season was his most successful in terms of goals. Let's have a look at Stoke City's season. Who have they got? You'll be able to name some Stoke players, yeah?
What, this season?
No, the season is his 11-12.
Oh, 11-12. Well, Ryan Shawcross is definitely going to be there.
Ryan Shawcross is there.
He should be there.
Captain.
Yeah. Peter Crouch, obviously. Rory Delap, my hero.
It's in shirt number order, which makes it very hard to... Yeah, Rory Delap, number 24.
Woodgate
joins at the same time. So Woodgate joined on a free from Spurs. Wilson Palacios joined on an undisclosed fee from Spurs. And Peter Crouch joins on 10 million from Spurs.
Jonathan Walters is definitely going to be there in the Premier League around that time.
Jonathan Walters is there. 7 goals in the league that season.
God, who else are we going to have in there? Who's a Tony Pulis masterclass? They must have had another big... Kenwyn Jones
is there. Also of Trinidad and Tobago alongside Dwight York. A couple of Trinidad and Tobago strikers.
No, I think that's it. In the essence of time, I think that's my limit at the moment.
Yeah, just, you know, Ricardo Fuller, Salih Jow, Dean Whitehead, Matthew Everingtons, Thomas Sorensen, Cameron Jerome. So, lots of familiar faces there. But I suppose maybe in minutes he became very bit part near the end, didn't it, in terms of minutes. I think you see lots of appearances, but I imagine a lot of substitute appearances.
Yeah.
And so he won Player of the Year in that first season, and also Goal of the Season, which I imagine is that long range
that I was thinking
looping,
of.
Yeah, against Joe Hart, I think it was.
He became Stoke City's leading Premier League goal scorer of all time during his final season, reaching 45 goals, overtaking 43 scored by Jonathan Walters.
There we go.
So, I assume that may have been broken now because they played one more season in the Premier League after that and he only scored 6. So if Jonathan Walters scored 8.
Nah.
No, that's true. Nah.
So that's a push.
Yeah. And then from there, went to his final club, which was Burnley. Again, Sean Dyche signing him. I saw that coming.
Yeah, he's sticking in, you know, he seemed to, because he's from Cheshire, he's sticking in the kind of northwest area, but it didn't really amount to much, and he retired midway through the season?
Yeah, well, it says here, retired from professional football 12th of July 2019 at the age of 38, so it must have been at the end, in July.
Yeah,
I see. So, but interesting, he made an immediate impact coming on as a substitute in a 1-1 draw against Southampton. He was instrumental in Burnley being awarded their first penalty for a season and a half.
Yeah, I remember these kind of stats. I think part of it is like little Burnley, you know, referees aren't favouring us and the style of play. Also, it's like how many players do you have who are getting in the box and
yeah.
tricking players and getting past them? It's not really the Burnley way at the time, was it?
No, and they had big players, right? Like Chris Wood, I think, was there at the time at Burnley. And it, like, it's big players in the box who aren't going to get pushed over for a penalty that way. So you're looking at a handball from across or something. But
yeah,
yeah, no chance.
And then we have Crouchy, the England international.
Yeah. I loved him
for
England.
He does score goals.
Yeah. Loved him for England.
Hated in Trinidad and Tobago, we mentioned, because he scored against them in the World Cup. But I think a lot of hate for him, the shirty hair pull.
Yeah, dreadlock pull, wasn't it? Yeah. Just got a handful of hair and used it to lever himself up and pull the defender down, basically. Yeah. I mean, not that it mattered, because we won 2-0, I think, didn't we? Gerrard scored, I think. I think Gerrard scored the other one in that game. Yeah.
But 22 goals, 42 appearances for England. Absolutely. It's just I love that variety. That's why I never minded, like Andy Carroll was similar in that sense. I don't mind those players getting in, especially in a World Cup squad, because it's nice to have that change of pace, the tall, slender forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 2006, that Trinidad and Tobago one, wasn't it sort of little and large? Because Rooney was there, right? And it would have been Rooney off Crouch in some games.
Would Michael Owen have still been playing?
It might have been Michael Owen.
Yeah. Partnered Michael Owen attack in the opening match against Paraguay. He kept his place.
He was rested as Rooney came back against Sweden. And Michael Owen suffered that horrible knee injury. Joe Cole scored his absolute banger and Crouch came on in that one, yeah.
That's a lot going on there.
Wow. On the 5th of September... retired English referee Graham Pohl claimed that FIFA had specifically warned referees at the event at the 2006 World Cup to pay close attention to Crouch, claiming that he's a real pain and he's getting away with too much. Oh.
Crouch had one of those abilities to actually be shorter when he jumped. He seemed to lack that core strength to keep himself upright, and he's kind of as soon as a defender's arm is back, he folded like a piece of paper.
He really did. I was going to say he folded a lot. Yeah, I mean, 2010 looks a bit bleak because Peter Crouch came on as a substitute for Emil Heskey, who also, and then in the next game came off the bench to replace Gareth Barry. Yeah, 2010 was a week.
Not fond memories.
No,
not for Capello era.
Yeah, so that was Capello, and we had. Capello, and then after Capello was Hodgson, wasn't it? Which was another bleak sort of era. He didn't make Euro 2012. Yeah. After the tournament, it was reported that Crouch had refused to be in it unless he was part of the original squad, according to manager Roy Hodgson, which drew criticism directed at him. Crouch afterwards said that this was not the case and that he would never not want to play for England.
I've just gone. So we started this episode with the first line of his style of play. We'll probably end it with another line. So we started with a tall forward with a slender physique. It also mentions, however, he was also known for his lack of significant pace, strength, power and athleticism, whilst his movement occasionally came under criticism from the media.
Oh, bless him. I mean, even a tall forward with slender physique isn't really a compliment.
This is a confusing line. He usually plays as a target man in a centre forward role throughout his career, or as a striker. Would you say there's a discernible difference between a centre forward and a striker?
No. Unless you're saying centre forward plays slightly off the striker, but I don't. Or they've put it in there as a covering all bases in case someone knows it's a centre forward and not a striker. But yeah, a bit odd. A bit strange. Nicknames. I mean, Crouchy, Robo Crouch, Crouchinho. And then he's been referred to as Mr. Roboto by Univision's commentators and as the Pantera Rosa. The Pink Panther in Fox Sports Espanol. So,
yeah, because this tall, slender physique.
After football, Josh. After retiring from football at the age of 38, Crouch has worked on Saturday night BBC One TV show titled Peter Crouch Save Our Summer. In 2022, he became a member of the panel for the TV series The Masked Dancer.
You aware of that show?
No, and that is also really stretching the Robo the robot yeah, dance.
Like, he's got some dancing pedigree.
Unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, an odd career. Can we call it odd? How it sort of worked out and peaked?
I think if you looked at it, you think it's surprising he played in a Champions League final.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, if I'm Peter Crouch, where do I say my career peaked? Is it Liverpool or is it Spurs?
Liverpool, I'd say. Surely the FA Cup win and the Champions League final are the peak of his career.
Yeah, but the Champions League final, he came on as a sub to try and change the game.
Yeah, but he's still part of it.
Just before we finish, what are his honours? What's he got listed? Everything.
Norwich City won the league on loan. Liverpool won the FA Cup and Community Shield, runners-up in the Champions League and Club World Championship. And then individually, QPR Player of the Season, Stoke City Player of the Season, Pompey Player of the Season and Stoke City Goal of the Season.
Yeah, not that.
It's quite nice, three of your clubs, Player of the Season.
Yeah, it is nice, but not that many honours, actually. Yeah, he's not won too much. So, but I think that's a nice place to end it, Josh.
I think so.
Yeah, so we'll end it there. It'll bring an end to this week's discussion on the podcast. We'll be back next week with another one. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, feel free to send in your suggestions of discussion or nostalgia or anything you'd like us to discuss and see where we end up on tangents. You can find us on Twitter @WikiWanderers and on Instagram @WikipediaWanderers. But for now, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.